Hey everyone, we're back on the road to revenue and happiness, and I've got another value-packed hour-long Q&A session. You all brought your questions and I brought the answers. I'm going to be hosting one of these BYOQ free trainings every month, so make sure you register and join me for free by emailing me at david@dmeltzer.com. Make sure you get all the guides and exercises that have been given out, and you can join my text community at 949-298-2905. I'm hosting another 2-minute drill pitch competition on Friday, September 25th, 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern. Once again, you can join us by emailing or texting me, david@dmeltzer.com, 949-298-2905.
This is Entrepreneurs the Playbook.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to BYOQ Friday's trainings. Bring your own questions. Put them right there in the Q&A section. I appreciate all the community, the text community, for giving me some questions as well. Welcome, everybody. Remember, if you want the guide to asking good questions or any of the other old guides from Buying Low to Selling High, The Pitch, Ultimate Ego, any guides that you want, or my book for free, all you got to do is email me, david@dmeltzer.com. And if you haven't joined my text community, it's 949-298-2905. Anyway, let's get started with the questions. You bring the questions, I'll bring the answers. How can I forgive myself, really heal and shift and move forward with renewed emotional peace, well-being, and freedom? There's only one way to forgive yourself, and that is to forgive yourself. You need to mantra, I forgive myself. You need to consciously, subconsciously, and unconsciously forgive yourself. Without forgiveness, all the attacks on ourselves are two-sided bullets, two-way bullets, let me put it that way. Not only do they attack you, but they attack other people. Until you forgive yourself, you not only will shield yourself, but you will shield other people. Forgiving yourself is going to take work. So what we have to do is, one, be aware of the attacks that we have on ourselves, the ego-based consciousness, the need to be offended or right or resentful or guilty. That's a big one. All of those different things, we need to, number one, identify it. Two, we have to stop it. Practice with the mantra that you forgive yourself. Remember, you're human, you're expanding, growing, and all that pain that you're going to forgive is just an indicator that you have a lesson to learn. And when you find that lesson through forgiveness, you then will move forward. You'll be able to have emotional renewed peace, well-being, and freedom from the mistakes that we've made. If you weren't making mistakes, you weren't trying. So live in that learning zone. Go ahead and forgive yourself. There is not one person out there that doesn't make mistakes, and you too are human. All right, next question. I find myself sitting between surrender and intention. Oh, what a great conflict that is. My question is, how do you balance surrender with intentional action? So the initiator is the law of Goya. Get off your ass. You need to start with, number one, paying attention to what you want by taking inventory of your values, for example. Pay attention to what activities you have planned, what activities you don't have planned. Take and put attention into your sleep. Then the next step is intention. So then not only is it paying attention and focusing, but you have to think, say, do, and believe all the aggregate of what you want and put your full intention. What you need to do in order to balance or blend the intention with the surrender or allowance is to detach your emotions from the outcome. When we attach our emotions to the intent, not the outcome, we're able to live in allowance. We're able to live in surrender. We're able to utilize the right way at the perfect time. We live in an abundant universe. So many people think that if we receive, other people will lose. That's not true. Not in an abundant universe that lives between limitlessness and infinity. A life of limitlessness and infinity knows that when it receives, nobody else loses, that we all win. And so you're in receive. You just have to tie your emotions to the intention, not to the outcome. And if you can do that, you will balance or blend the intentional actions with surrendering and allowance. And one other thing, I'll probably talk multiple times, this is something we'll talk about next week as well, We're going to talk about next week, keeping, getting, transitioning, the job of your dreams, the activity you get paid for of your dreams. And what we need to do is take on this philosophy of one, I am happy where I am. Two, I'm angling towards something better. And three, I have faith or allowance or surrender that I'm going to end up somewhere even better than that. Very simple way to do that. Here we go. What does it mean to be a ferocious Buddha? Is it a good or a bad thing? So a ferocious Buddha is something that I came up with. It's my spirit animal. A ferocious Buddha is that blend of intention and allowance, meaning that number one, a ferocious Buddha pays attention to what gets in its way. A ferocious Buddha understands what they're connected to, the greatest source of light, love, and lessons. A ferocious Buddha is aware and can identify when interference or corrosion to that connection is created, or when void shortages and obstacles are apparent. A ferocious Buddha then, number one, has to identify when they're an ego-based consciousness. For me, here's some of the needs. Not only is it from above, you know, the need to be guilty, but it's the need to be offended, the need to be right, the need to be separate is a huge need today of people, a need to be inferior, a need to be superior, a need to be worthy and unworthy, a need to be angry, a need to be anxious, frustrated, all of these different needs, resentful. And a ferocious Buddha is practicing identifying all these needs. And then the ferocious part comes in when they identify it. If anyone's been in ego-based consciousness, anger, anxiety, fear, guilt, resentment, and you're capable of stopping while you're in that state of mind, you are ferocious. That is one of the courageous and most ferocious things you can do, is stop the acceleration in the wrong trajectory by stopping and being aware of, wow, why do I have this need to be afraid? Why do I have this need to feel guilty? And then the Buddha part is to breathe. I call it the six breaths of Buddha. Breathe through my nose as it passed over my eyes and out through my mouth, all the way out to the end of the universe, and get to center, get to peace, find my higher self, my higher power of thinking, one outside of the ego-based consciousness, more in the truth-based consciousness. And then, once again, institute the ferocious being that I am by rolling in the right trajectory. When we're in ego-based consciousness, our mind, body, and soul are on fire. And so we need to be a ferocious Buddha. One, identify why and if I'm on fire, probably. And two, stop, drop, and roll. When you're on fire, your mind, body, and soul, stop, drop, and roll. Everybody knows best way to put out a fire. All right, next question. What's the difference between inspiration and motivation? I think a lot of people get confused. Motivation has its purpose. It is an adrenaline-based feature of the body, and motivation will get you up. It'll get you back up. It'll get you started. It'll get you restarted. But the interesting thing about motivation is it doesn't last. It'll get you out of the atmosphere, but it's not going to get you where you want to go. You have to combine three things: motivation, transition, and inspiration. That's going to get you to where you want to go over the long haul. It'll allow you to enjoy the consistent every day, persistent without quit, pursuit of your own potential. Not voting for what other people want, not voting for what you don't want, because those are sure to come up if you vote for those, but instead voting for what you do want. And what we want to do is understand that all those fear-based consciousness, ego-based consciousness can motivate us. Fear can motivate, but it won't inspire. It's a soul sucker. It's a high octane energy sucking mechanism that will get us up, get us back up, get us going, get us back going, get us started, get us restarted, but it's not going to get us there. So you have to learn to take that inertia created by motivation and transition it by creating disciplines, habits, and awareness into inspiration, which is a process or a habit which cleans the connection between you and the greatest source of light, love, and lessons that you're connected to at all times, and allow it to come through you. Notice my emotions are attached to the journey and to the enjoyment of, not to the outcome. So I'm allowing it to come through me with appreciation, gratitude, and my values to give away. No longer are you going to give to receive as a trade, as a negotiation. No longer are you going to do that. What you're going to do from now on is you're going to be worthy of everything and live in an abundant universe of more than enough, not just enough, not enough, but more than enough. And you're going to realize that just because I'm receiving doesn't mean someone else isn't either. And I'm going to go ahead and receive to give, not give to receive. and I'm going to feel good about it because it's an abundant way to increase and accelerate and expand the universe and put more of what I want into the universe while I'm taking what I want through me for others. What do you mean by tomorrow starts today? Well, number one, being kind to your future self, being kind and doing good deeds will start tomorrow today. But even more at a physical level, I believe that planning for tomorrow today in one respect to have an unwinding routine. So every night at 9 o'clock, I have an unwinding routine that starts tomorrow. It starts my tomorrow. Not only what I do today affects tomorrow, which is why I'm kind to my future self, but actually at a physical level, I have an unwinding routine the same way that people have a warm-up routine. I have an unwinding routine, a cool-down routine to make sure that I can start my day at the highest frequency tomorrow. I don't want to live the myth of Sisyphus. I don't want to have to feel as if my life is just a complete hamster wheel, pushing a boulder to the top of the hill just to have it roll down to the bottom hill every morning. I want to plateau and grow. I want to accelerate. And in order to do so, my tomorrow has to start with what I'm doing today, including having an unwinding routine. Can you expand on trust and verify? It's very difficult for people. They feel guilty when they're in some sort of relationship not to trust the other person. Although the little lies turn into big doubts. Right. One of my biggest needs to be offended is, I don't know if it's law school or just having a good memory or whatever it is. I'm always picking up when things don't align, probably because the bullet goes both ways. Right. I was an overseller, back end seller. My biggest fear is to be a overseller, back end seller, manipulator. Those little lies that I was told my whole life and around different people that felt that with good intentions, little lies were OK. Little did they know they create big doubts. And so what I have learned to do is to trust everyone, but verify. And don't be afraid to ask the hard questions and call people out on when the verification does not come back positively so that they understand that you are a person that is working on and practicing living in integrity. You're a person who's striving for that integrity for yourself and that you don't want to surround yourself with the little lies that create big doubts. And so the best thing that we can do is trust everyone, but verify. And then you'll find out who to surround yourself with, who the people that feed you so you can feed them, and who the people that are bleeding you so you can either let them fall away and pray for their happiness, or you can run away and let them pray for their happiness, or you can simply fire them and pray for their happiness. Is the housing market going to crash or go down significantly? The interest rates are super low and it only going to go up from here. Historically, and history shows us human nature, what goes up will come down. Now, what you want to look at is your timing and risk tolerance. Whenever you make an investment, whether it's real estate, stocks, bonds, IULs, annuities, whatever it may be, they must align with your timing and risk tolerance. And so taking advantage of any opportunities of any market, make sure that first you determine before analyzing any of them what your timing and risk tolerance is. Now, what I would do to determine whether the housing market, which by the way, when people say the housing market is a very general statement, there's a multitude of opportunities in the housing market where some of them are doing extremely well right now. Some of them are getting slammed right now. So what I would do is find the person who sits in a situation you want to be with 30 or 40 years of expertise in your area, with your priced house, interest rates, whatever it is, and ask them, can you just let me know when it's overbought so I can sell, or if it's oversold so I can buy. Those are the best ways. So number one, know your timing and risk tolerance. Find an expert with the specific type of house that you're looking to invest in or buy. And that expert, just simply ask them for help. Can you let me know when it's oversold or overbought? And then trust and verify. All right, next question. What is your favorite affirmation to repeat throughout the day? Well, the two words that sit next to my nightstand are radical humility. I think I forgive myself is a good one. I am worthy, or just I am. I am. That connects me to everything that I am already connected to and everything else, meaning it's connecting me to the greatest source of light, love, and lessons, as well as everything and everyone else. So my favorite affirmations deal with forgiveness, gratitude, worthiness. All of those relate to I am blank. Favorite affirmations, which I utilize every day in my meditation. It's done. Also lets me know that it already exists. It's my job just to access it. I am, it's done. What is the most important lesson you learned this week? I think trust and verify is probably the great lesson. Also, you know, stop focusing on what surrounds you. So focus your attention and intention on what surrounds you. You got to blend that pragmatic world of what surrounds you with the faithful world of what surrounds what you surround you. Know that, you know, no weapons formed against you will prosper, that you are surrounded by and what surrounds that, the greatest source of light, love, and lessons. And you are with accountability and control of what your own reality will be. Advice for college students who are starting school back up. Number one, take inventory of your values. There's three things if you're younger, that whether it's college, high school, elementary school, that, you know, I really believe in. One, do your best. Two, learn something. And three, have fun. If you learn to do your best, always learn something, find the light, the love, and the lessons, and the suck and the good stuff, and have fun finding, you know, that part. Everything you do, those are the greatest lessons of habits that you can learn. If everything you do, you know, you hustle, you do your best, you're enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential, you learn something every time, and you're having fun, that's what it's about. So make sure that you're doing all three of those things, no matter where you're going to school or what you're doing, especially if you're young. Get in the habit of doing those three things. How can we make the best use of our superpowers? Well, you have so many different superpowers. You know, what you want to do, what do I do that people like, how do you do that? You know, I'm utilizing awareness and listening to people going, wow, how'd you do that? Oh my gosh, that's amazing. Then I know that I have a capability, a skill, a knowledge of what, who I know, in order to effectuate the what in my life. And then I can move that superpower where it's most useful by aligning that capability. What's doing well today, supplementary or synergistic to that, or what's stable today, or prepare myself for maybe something that's doing even better in the future. But knowing and looking and hearing and feeling, wow, how'd you do that? That's amazing. You're amazing. Everyone has it. And they're not paying attention when people are like, you're really good at that. How'd you do that? Can you help me do that? Those are your superpowers. So got to identify it, align those superpowers synergistically and supplementary to what's doing well, what's stable, and what will be doing well in the future. Any predictions for the future of events? Please, anybody that knows the future, please call me. We can make billions of dollars. Why would I even waste time predicting the future? Why? I'm too busy studying history to learn human nature so that I can figure out how best to maximize my productivity of how much value I can provide, maximize my accessibility of how accessible I'm to others and how I'm accessing what I want, and of course, my gratitude, maximizing me finding the light, the love, and the lessons in everything I do. Why am I going to waste my time with something that I can't control and I've been searching for someone that can, the future? I can only prepare for it by building my skills, knowledge, and desire, taking inventory of my values, doing it now, student calendar, all the different things that I do, asking and attracting. Can you explain infinite intelligence? For me, I live in an instant, taking out the man-made construct of time between limitlessness and infinity. And so intelligence itself is the awareness that exists within that context of those two things. Infinite intelligence is the ability to access what we want. You know, life is about lessons. The lessons will keep on coming until we learn them. If you haven't learned them, they'll result in pain. As you all know, pain is just an indicator. It's not a stop sign. It's a turn signal telling us to move in a different direction, to go to a better place, to get a better situation. Just a turn signal pushing us in the right direction to maximize what we want. And the infinite intelligence tells us that everything already exists in this abundant universe of more than enough. And we have the ability, this infinite intelligence, in order to access anything and everything, even things we don't believe exist. How can I best involve myself in the sports industry? Well, it's an enormous industry. What I would do is look at your capabilities. What skills do you have? What knowledge do you have? The what knowledge and who knowledge, and the desire you have, and align it, meaning what's supplementary or synergistic to some area of sports. It could be a snack company. It could be an acai bowl company. It could be a car company. It could be a team, a league, an organization. Almost every area of our life is a sports industry. You just have to align your capabilities with the part of the industry in which you want to participate in activity you get paid for. That's how I'd best involve yourself. And to get started, after you find that space that best suits you and is aligned with supplementary and synergistic to what you want, then go ahead and ask someone, do you know anyone that can help me find that? And then ask somebody if you're allowed to have an opportunity, either, you know, is an entry level position or a lateral position determined upon your capabilities and skills aligned with what you do for activity you get paid for, or maybe activity you don't get paid for and just volunteer. Advice for dealing with the need to be anxious specifically. Anybody out there ever feel anxious, worried? Yeah. Everyone, what we want to do to deal with it, I like to cancel, clear, and connect. Whenever I have an anxious feeling, an ego-based consciousness of fear, I like to cancel it. If it keeps on reoccurring, then I clear my mind. I know that it somewhere relative to my life, it's subconsciously stuck in the 40,000 of the same thoughts that have created neural pathways and are being accessed by my quantum being, my unconscious competency. And so I just breathe through my nose and out through my mouth and say clear, clear, and I clear my mind. And if it still doesn't dissipate or dissolve, then I know it's energetic, that it could be a chain that needs to be broken, an ancestral chain delivered by four generations, my great-grandparents, grandparents, parents to me, or even multiple lifetimes, even millions of lifetimes, just inherently inbred in my DNA into some quantum nature that no matter what I think, say, do, or believe, no matter what I cancel or clear, it's still going to reoccur. And so the best that I can do is pursue my potential of dissolving that by picturing that energy in my mind, finding the light, the love, and the lessons, and comparing that to something that I already have found the light, love, and lessons, and then holding that light over me to shift my energy in an unconscious way. If you don't or want to know about this, it's in Connected to Goodness, my book. Email me, david@themeltzer.com, and you can get my book for free. And it talks all about canceling, clear, and connect. It also talks about manifesting everything you want in life and business. I'm happy to give it to you. Just reach out, david@themeltzer.com. Same place that you go for the guides, the exercises from today, how to ask good questions, what questions to ask, and the other guides that I've given, from Buy Low, Sell High, to the Ultimate Ego, to the Pitch, to 5 to 5 Sales System, and every other guide that I have, I'm happy to give for free. All right, enough said. Here we go. How do you manage your email? Do it now, zero in the box, or let it ride. Folders, subfolders, or free for all. First of all, extremely organized in my email. And I am a do-it-now person, and I have folders and subfolders and have learned those categories. I do use templated answers that I have on a side Word document that I can cut and paste. So if people want to know about my private coaching group, I just cut and paste that. I have links, you know, if they want a free book or come to training for free and join us there, or they want my, you know, text 949-298-2905. I have a templated document always open on the bottom that I cut and paste so that I can efficiently respond to everyone myself, but extremely organized in all those. Zero in the box every night. I do not go to sleep with a dirty box. It has nothing in it. It is clean, organized, answered, and filed. I think that's very important. If it's not your email, you better find some repository that does that for you. What are the top three-ish, I like that, what are your top three-ish key pieces of advice for strategically building an iconic brand? What industries in post-2020 do you think will thrive or in demand? Well, number one, strategic advice for building an iconic brand. One, find your frequency. Know the strength of your signal by consistently putting up yourself. Don't try to please other people. Don't try to go too broad. Know your spectrum and create your frequency, the strong signal to the right people in a clear message. And then when you know the strength of your signal, the spectrum of your signal, and the clarity of your message, post in every platform that you can, and learn to capture is, so that's second, post. If you haven't posted enough to annoy your family and friends, the people who like you, you haven't even hit the bottom level where you should be posting. When you start hitting a level where people don't like you or hate you, they want to give you comments, then you're starting to get at the very beginning, and then keep posting more. You can never post enough. We can't fathom what it's like to try to reach 4.4 billion people in the millions that are in your spectrum. Remember, the pimple popper lady, she has millions of people who are ambassadors and follow her. So realize that if somebody is interested in pimple popping, that they're guaranteed interested in your frequency and what you do. The last piece of advice of the three-ish, my top three-ish, is learn to capture what you're doing, modify it correctly to all platforms, amplify it correctly to all those platforms, and create a perpetual strategy. Realize that people are being conditioned today to view content perpetually, meaning they go back and they binge watch Dave Meltzer. They may just find out about you today, but they'll go back 10 years and keep watching you on and on and on, just as Netflix is proven, On Demand is proven, and many, many others have proven with series that were born in the 70s, 80s, 90s, 2000s. People are binge watching things from years ago, even though they weren't built into a perpetual strategy. The second part of your question is what I think will thrive or in demand. Well, I use my own capabilities to see what's synergistic and supplementary. So gambling is an area that I think will thrive in post-2020. I think it's been hit because of the lack of mass gatherings and mass sports events, but it always historically has been a great statistically successful business. And now that it's legalized, and I think in the last 6 months, 20 states have legalized sports gambling alone. So gambling is one of those areas. I think energy, automobile energy is another. Looking at different companies that are raising billions of dollars to supplementary synergistically or compete directly with Tesla, that is going to be a huge market. So those are two of the areas that I think will thrive and are in demand. You have different experiences, situational knowledge and advice. And if you don't, find people that sit in the situation for 30, 40 years to understand what they think in those specific industries. Nobody knows everything. In fact, we know so little, it's embarrassing. In fact, radical humility comes from the fact that we don't know what we don't know. First question. What advice can you give me on growing and scaling my business? We're in the marketing industry, similar to your friend Gary V. Well, when you're growing and scaling a business in the marketing industry, you need to know three things. One, you need an investment phase. The goal of an investment phase is how long does it take and how much resources does it take in order to break even. Then you have what's called an execution phase. How long does it take and how much resources does it take to get to a point of success of multiple returns? Then you have an equity phase, building a company so that it lasts forever and building it so you want it to last forever will create an equity phase where you have options in order to create resources and time with the equity. Breaking it down into those three phases, we then know how and what to focus in on. And in the marketing industry, it's the best thing to do because we have accelerated change and growth, an extraordinary opportunity that we can't even fathom. And so if you stay focused on scaling your business in those three phases, you'll incrementally grow. Even if you don't have the capacity to see it growing, you'll incrementally grow, exponentially grow, and get huge returns as the market expands, accelerates, and grows itself. How do you balance the negative? Second question, how did he grow VaynerMedia so quickly? Funding. Right? VaynerMedia grew quickly because he had adequate funding and could scale around the world with a great brand and great credibility. How do you balance the negative and positive energy? I use 5 steps to balance the negative and positive energy. For me, one, taking inventory of my own values allow me to determine what I want to be around. They're not necessarily negative or positive to everyone, but negative or positive to me. Asking and attracting, so finding out how I could be of service or value, and asking, do you know anybody can help me, are two key ways of surrounding myself with positive energy and allowing the negative energy to fall away or fire it from my life while still praying for its happiness. Utilizing the philosophy and the mathematical equation of luck, paying attention to and giving intention to the coincidences I want in my life, the positive coincidences, by being a student in my calendar, for example, paying attention to and giving attention to what I have planned every single day, what I don't have planned every day, and of course, my sleep with my wind down routine. I think the lens of productivity, accessibility, and gratitude also help to balance those energies to make sure they're aligned with what I want. Productivity lens is one which I look to see how much value is it providing others. Two, the accessibility lens allows me to be accessible, to be of service of others, and to access or receive what I want. And then positively, most importantly, the gratitude lens allows me to find, even within the suck, you know, the light, the love, and the lessons, to create a lens of expansion, growth, and acceleration, to always learn lessons, to use pain as just an indicator, not a stop sign, but a turn signal. And then doing things now keeps me present. If you stay present, you'll know and be aware of the positivity around you and be able to be intuitive about the negative things that you want to fall away or fire. And of course, the practice of ending fear, of being a ferocious Buddha, will allow you also to distinguish between the two energies that you put the value in, that you create the illusions for, that you want in your life. Remember, what's positive to you maybe negative to someone else, and what's negative to you maybe to someone else. So this is all determined upon by your own value, the clarity, balance, and focus of those values that you have to give you the confidence or inspiration that you need. In the event you're following your dreams, and hopefully in the event for everyone that's following their dreams, and have a vision that others can't see, which would be almost every vision you have, how do you stay focused and positive when the people closest to you are mad for you following your dreams and trying to inspire and make a difference and make change? All that does is define the people around you as people that are mad for following your dreams. It has no effect on you, right? When people put judgments or conditions on you, then you've just defined yourself as either someone that cares about what they think or someone that doesn't, but they've defined themselves about someone that has judgments or conditions. Right? Just because someone calls you something or thinks something of you doesn't make it true. It defines them as someone that says that. And people will laugh at you, scoff at you, make fun of you. Even the people we care most about, right, family and friends, they'll be the best at it to laugh at you, make fun of you, I guess get mad at you even for following your dreams. You vote for what you want. Let them laugh, scoff, and make fun of you. They'll applaud you eventually. They don't know what they don't know. So some things that people are afraid of are things they don't know. So if you have a dream, it's impossible for them to see it. You're the only one that can see and believe your dream. And therefore, they don't know it. Therefore, they are scared. Therefore, it could make them mad, angry, anxious, guilty, resentful, offensive. You know, all these different feelings of the ego when we don't know. But remind them, they don't know what they don't know, and you don't know what they don't know. But you know your dream. And it's your job not only to dream your dream, but to paint your dream, to materialize your dream, regardless of what everyone else thinks. If nobody followed their dream, and if everyone listened to everybody else about their dreams, nothing would be done. We would be stuck, stagnant in the same place. There would be no Apple, no Tesla, no, probably no world, but be no oxygen or water probably without people that are dreaming. I saw in there the Lakers win the championship. Boy, I hope so, but don't think so. I think the Clippers are too tough. How can I begin my public speaking business? I'm interested in helping people. How can I begin to grow on this side of my brand? First of all, everyone, right? That's part of the training next week. We're going to do keep, change, transition, find new professions. Evan Carmichael, good to see you, my friend. Public speaking, you know, I have multiple things. Just email me, david@themelzer.com. Practice, 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 practice. Public speaking is like golf. You know, you have to get to a point where it's like clapping. And if you're not videoing yourself, if you're not taking free speeches, if you're not volunteering to speak and motivate and inspire and transition people's lives and impact them, then you're never going to get good at it. And you got to just keep doing it, doing it, doing it. The truth will vibrate the fastest. If you're good at it, people will want you to speak. And it takes time. There's no overnight success. Just keep speaking. Keep practicing. You will get there. You know, if you start with two people watching you and two people, those two people say, hey, he's the best speaker I've ever seen. And you get four. And those four tell four. Then you got eight. And those eight tell eight. It's only 20 years till you got 2 million people telling 2 million people. No matter how old you are, that's how I started. Just looking for two people that would tell two people that I'm great and would want to listen to me, whether it's digitally or in person. What are your thoughts about forgiving people who don't deserve it? Wow, that's a venture of mine. Can you forgive the unforgivable? That's where the pursuit of your potential lies. I can't do it. Can't do it. I know multiple scenarios where I still have the fears, ego-based consciousness, but I'm practicing. I can forgive so much more than I used to through gratitude, empathy, accountability, and inspiration, but I can't do it. Forgiving people who don't deserve it, I've learned other people don't deserve any of my forgiveness. I deserve it. I deserve my forgiveness and then give it to others. Other people don't deserve it, but I can't yet get to the point where I can forgive the unforgivable, but I'm working on it. But remember, don't give other people forgiveness because they deserve it. Give it because you deserve it. You deserve peace, okay? And remember, it's a two-sided bullet, a two-way bullet. If you're shooting peace at yourself, you're shooting peace at other. If you're shooting attacks at yourself, you're shooting attacks at other. You think you're a manipulator, liar, cheater, overseller, back-end seller, you'll be shooting that onto other people and projecting it. That's the way the double-sided bullet works. It's a terrible ammunition. Forgiveness, it shields everybody. Dear David, who is your meditation teacher? Dr. Sangeeta Sahi. Email me at david@demelzer.com if you'd like an introduction or if you'd like to join one of our groups. What kind of meditation do you practice? Theta meditation, T-H-E-T-A, theta meditation. It's a meditation of vibration and awareness to elevate your own conscious, subconscious, and unconscious vibration. You can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. What better awareness than to know when to buy or sell, for example? That's in my guide for you. Anyway, go ahead, reach out, david@demelzer.com. I've created a fashion protection accessory for baseball hats. Excellent. This serves as a perfect branding item. When do I launch? Do you think I should go straight to B2B or B2C? Well, these are what my private group training are about. And the answer is maybe depends on a variety of things like your credibility, the emotional attachments, your reasons and impacts and capabilities that you have today quantifiably. All of those may and have to be assessed. A business plan has to be put together according to those five and then be able to come up with a qualified and quantified value justified business to determine where the bigger opportunity is quantifiably, either B2B or B2C, as well as, you know, it's a good idea. And then whenever I see the word when, it just shows me you're stuck in the man-made context construct. When you're ready. When you can articulate value, you're ready to go. If you can articulate value, which means, hey, can you see any reason you won't want to move forward? And invariably, somebody will say yes, then you're ready. But there is no date, time, or timing. Do you know someone who can help me create an amazing launch strategy and bring the product to market? I will be happy to help. That's what we do, or I can introduce you to someone. Email me at david@demelzer.com. Love for you to join. What does getting in your own way mean to you? Getting in my own way is the process of creating interference, voids, and shortages in my life. The corrosion that's created by ego-based consciousness, by accelerating in the wrong direction or trajectory, that's getting in my own way. Not recognizing or remembering, connecting to the greatest source of light, love, and lessons that I'm always connected to. That's getting in your own way. Most people get in their own way. It's just a matter of, are we going to get in our way for years, months, weeks, days, hours, minutes or moments. My practice is getting down to minutes and moments and learning how to not only get out of my own way, but not to stay in my own way for things that are historically, ancestrally, or quantumly affecting me. What advice would you have for someone experiencing severe post-traumatic growth, again, and is ready to scale the size of their impact to help more people on their own journeys? I would suggest that you enjoy the consistent everyday, persistent without quit pursuit of that potential. I would continue to hone in your skills, your knowledge of what you need to know and who you need to know, and combine it with this insatiable desire to be what you must be. Aligning those capabilities with what is doing well for you, what is stable for you, and what will do well in the future. I think that'll maximize the acceleration and growth that not only you've experienced in the past, but you're experiencing now and into the future. How would you build resilience? Enjoying the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential builds resilience. Resilience also, in a pragmatic way, I think utilizing toughness in telephone builds resilience. It's a distinctive factor that can separate you value-wise with other people. Most people are not to the level of resilient or tough. They get their feelings hurt because they have an ego-based insecurity or fear. And then two, they don't know how to use their voice in order to articulate the connotations and annotations of value in which to share a vision and then manage and develop that to a thriving life, a resilient life. Resilience is super important. Resilience is the awareness that there is pain and it's just an indicator, not a stop sign. What is a great way to stay focused when starting off as an entrepreneur when you have adversity? Well, you're always going to have adversity. So don't think that somehow that this adversity is going to go away, because remember, life's about lessons and lessons are going to keep on coming until you learn them, regardless of what stage or state you're in. And you pain will result if you haven't learned them, indicating you have a better direction to go, and it will keep on coming until you learn it. So please know that that pain or adversity will always be there, and to stay focused is to take the perception or mindset and heart set, the feelings, to think, say, and do and hear all the right things in order to push you in the right direction. Remember, you're happy where you are, you're angling to something better, but you have faith that you're going to end up somewhere better than that. That will help you stay focused on what needs to be done, detaching your emotions from an outcome, putting it onto the journey of enjoying the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of your potential. Remember, 2 minutes a day is worth more than 2 hours on a Saturday. That's guaranteed for any startup entrepreneur. Do you strive to be an anti-racist? How? What anti-racist policies do you have from the past? And what new anti-racist policies are you currently implementing? Oh. Well, I don't think anti anything. I think pro. So pro equality, pro unification, prioritization for certain business and personal issues to make sure that we are paying attention to and giving attention to those that need the most in order to effectuate the unification that is needed. The pro unification. I'm not a big anti person. And so utilizing the higher level of thinking and promoting positive, unifying thoughts and helping people understand one thing is very important, and that's time. That, you know, there are systematic changes that need to occur in order to have pro-equality and pro-opportunity and pro-positivity, and that we have to work hard, not just protest one day, but every single day, and enjoy the consistent pursuit of that life of pro-equality. What do you believe are the most important values that need to be included in a company's mission statement? Whatever's important to the people that create the mission statement. For me, it's an abundant one of making a lot of money to help a lot of people and have a lot of fun. That's it. But please take inventory of your values every day to create your own mission statement that is aligned with the values of you and the people of your company and the vision that they have. How can I get higher paying clients? Provide more value, right? There's a simple math and a simple science to getting paid more. The more value you provide, the more you'll get paid. The more demand there is for you, the more you'll get paid. It cannot just happen overnight. You cannot force it to happen. You cannot lie, cheat, oversell, manipulate to get there. You need to do the work. You need to utilize the law of Goya in order to actuate the law of attraction. The law of Goya is get off your ass. Be patient, understand segmentation, growth, acceleration. See how things exponentially grow when you believe in the enjoyment of that journey, and make sure that you detach your emotions from that outcome, and you will make more money and be paid more for that and get higher paying clients. How do I stay inspired for other successes in my journey? I was when I first joined these groups, but now it makes me sad and wonder why are my capabilities not evident? Well, not everyone capabilities are evident. I have so many capabilities that I'm searching for. Some are and some aren't. Why don't you switch the paradigm for yourself and search for the capabilities that are evident? Look and see where you do have successes. You know, what capabilities you love about yourself, and then learn to love more of those capabilities. Ask for help. Find people that sit in the situation that you want to be in that can identify your capabilities and give you the positive reinforcement and constructive criticism and help that you need to get to your what. But don't give up. Remember, not a stop sign, it's a turn signal. And the fact that you are coming to an acknowledgement, a remembrance, that you may not be utilizing all your capabilities, but I promise you, you need to find someone to liberate your light, to liberate the light that you're connected to, the love that you're connected to, the lessons that you're connected to. We're all connected to it, and we're all connected to each other. The tree has no branches. Trust me, these seeds have been planted in you. They need to be watered and lit up in the right dimension so that you can grow and accelerate and acknowledge and be aware and remember it. But trust me, we're all in the same place, and you just need to shift that paradigm and perspective. Ask for help. Find someone that can reinforce and reinvigorate and identify those capabilities, or maybe just constructively tell you how to get to and expose those capabilities that I know may not be evident to you, but are evident to others. Can you operate at the same frequency or connect with people at the levels higher than you and or lower than you? Can you expand on this, please? Sure. Well, I believe and have been taught that you can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than you. And although someone may be at a higher vibration and you may not understand all that they say, you can still identify with the lower levels of frequency in which they're emitting or communicating through, you know, their energy or through the articulation that they're utilizing, writing, emails, phone, whatever it may be. But in the mathematical technology that I believe, we can only be aware of that which vibrates equal to or less than us. So I focus introspectively on raising my vibration. In other words, living to my higher self. In other words, using my higher power thinking, knowing that plants, animals, humans, sound, light, thought, all vibrate faster and faster and faster. And the thought that vibrates the fastest is my potential, the truth. And so I'm always trying to enjoy the consistent, everyday, persistent, without quit pursuit of that truth or my potential. And very cognizant every day on my higher frequency to plateau and grow, to use my higher frequency as a baseline to know when I'm moving in the right trajectory or the wrong trajectory. And this helps me all the time. And so you can surround yourself with people with lower vibrations, higher vibrations. We will only know so much and be aware of so much of what we're saying, doing, thinking, and being. But we can connect at the frequencies that vibrate at equal to or less than. How did 9/11 impact you? Well, I got this shirt from my wife, which everyone loves, by the way. Go ahead and give me a thumbs up if you love the shirt. My wife gave it to me. But 9/11 had a great impact on me to understand what's relative. And I think in an instant of a second, when I saw the first tower go down and then the second tower go down, that everything that was relative to me changed. And the theory of relativity, and how could I be, if I'm relative and connected to everything, how could I be connected to that which caused that? And it caused me to go in a journey of relativity and impact and what I could do to create happiness, to know that happiness is so strong that nobody has attacking thoughts when they're happy. Nobody attacks anybody else when they're happy. Nobody has a need to be separate when they're happy. And so just reinforcing my need to empower over 1 billion people to be happy and to understand happiness it's still impacting my life. I am doing a movie called The Horses of Fire with Angelo Pizzo. Just wrote the script. The guy who did Rudy Hoosiers in The 500. We got Steve Buscemi and the producer from Game of Thrones, all trying to tell a story of first responders and what we do as one, and how uniting, and what positive things came from the relativity of something that is negative, that carries an attack, a judgment, a condition, a separation. And I think it's a great lesson and had a great impact and still does every single 9/11 that there is. Hi, David. I have about 8 months left of living expenses before I have to get a part-time job or something to bring in money, but I'm determined to work for myself. After serving in corporate America for 20 years, my question is, smart to invest in what I really want to do, which is start a t-shirt line that is aligned with my brand, or should I hold on to my money and hold off on my t-shirt line until I've secured paying clients? I'm a certified business coach. Please help. Be a professional. Do both. I am a big believer in finding how your t-shirt company can overlap with what you're doing and utilizing. I believe if you have 8 months of living expenses that you should make and continue to have 8 months, and you know, invest in yourself by cutting your expenses, invest in yourself by making more money, by being and finding more activity you get paid for and less activity you don't get paid for. Find the light, the love, and the lessons and other opportunities that are supplementary or synergistic to the t-shirt company. Do not quit on the t-shirt company, but expand yourself, push yourself, make more money. Make more money doing whatever it takes, you know, an MLM, a direct selling, financial planning, some other area that will expand upon and give you new community to sell your t-shirts for, to ask for help. Make more money as a certified business coach and get those people to buy t-shirts and to help you find other people to buy those t-shirts. Do not quit on the t-shirt business, but be a professional. Get better at what you are doing. If you make more money at what you are doing, you'll have more time, opportunities, and options to make money doing stuff that you want to do even more than the stuff you're doing now. Find the light, the love, and the lessons in what you're doing and be a professional. I received Christy's email with a link to a lawyer yesterday. Really appreciate you helping me. My question is, how can a person with a small business get grants or loans to pay for a patent lawyer with poor credit? I don't know if that exists, but be more interested than interesting and search and ask for help and see if it does exist. And if it does exist, then apply. If it doesn't, then find something that will help you, a person with poor credit, pay for a patent lawyer. Be more interested than interesting. Ask people, do you know anyone that can help me or anything that can help me? I don't personally know a lot about that, but there's something that you can Google and figure out how. You could also ask the patent lawyer, how do people pay for patent lawyers that have poor credit? And they may have from their experience or know other lawyers with the experience of telling you how to do that. Can you please speak more about being worthy? I love that. I can sense I am afraid of success even though I want it. My new mantra, I am trying on. I am releasing my fears around success, fame, and immense wealth. Okay, just remind yourself that you cannot be poor enough to make other people rich. That just because you receive doesn't mean someone else won't. That there's enough of everything for everyone. And you especially are worthy of everything that you receive, one, and you cannot out-ask the universe, and you cannot out-ask in person on the phone via email, media, radio, print TV, social media. You cannot out-ask. You are worthy of everything that you see. Even though you can't be poor enough to be rich or sick enough to be well, you can be rich enough to make other people rich. So you need to be worthy of everything, knowing that just because you receive doesn't take away from anyone else. You are worthy. You are worthy of much more than you can either conceive or perceive. And you need to continually to stretch that muscle and discipline to ask for more without feeling guilty, resentful, or offended. Just ask for more, that you are worthy of everything. The more that you have, the more others will have, because you have good intentions to allow everything to go through you with appreciation for others. What's an unwinding routine? For me, at 9 p.m. every day, I have an unwinding routine that makes sure that I am setting myself up for the highest frequency of rest. So no caffeine or alcohol, no negative energy, no conflict, all unwinding and clearing the connection so that when I run out of energy, I pass out from utilizing my productivity, accessibility, and gratitude during the day and all the daily lessons that I've learned, I now can maximize my connection to the greatest source of love, light, and lessons without my conscious in the way. That clear connection from the unwinding routine allows me to plateau and grow, not to live that myth of Sisyphus that I mentioned earlier, but to plateau and grow, not to increase the interference or corrosion through my sleep, but to decrease it, giving myself the right nutrition and sleep and ideas and thoughts and activities and beliefs, all enhancing and growing while my body rests. Joshi Org, what's up, Joshi York? One incredible entrepreneur that knows about investing in himself. If you don't look up Josh York, you are making a big mistake. This guy blew me out of my shoes. What a great entrepreneur. And talk about, you got to listen to his story. Go ahead, listen to my podcast with him. It's incredible. The playbook with him and his podcast are awesome about inspiration and motivation. He is consistent, that's for sure. Here we go. What daily action steps do we need to take to grow our niche specific audience? Oh, segmentation, right? In order to grow your specific audience, you need to capture, modify, amplify, and perpetuate your content in all directions, in person, on the phone, via email, radio, print, TV, social media, all every day, consistently grow it, stick with it, keep on learning and loving and finding that niche, knowing that 2 turns to 4, 4 turns to 8, 8 turns to 16, 16, 32, 32 to 64, and so on. In 20 segments, you're at 2 million. You can get there. So the daily activity is to enjoy the consistent, persistent pursuit of your potential by capturing what you're doing, modifying it accordingly, amplifying it exponentially, and perpetually strategizing on how to monetize it for life. How can I tie in or highlight my non-sports industry experience when applying to sports jobs? Let me just tell you this. People in the sports industry are looking for capabilities, not for your experience in sports. They're looking for the skills you have. Trust me, if you're an extraordinary lawyer, accountant, teacher, marketer, graphic arts designer, builder, facility manager, there's room for you in the multi-billion dollar industry of sports. And the fact that you may not love all the celebrities, athletes, and entertainers that tie themselves around the emotional, the irrational emotional attachment that people have, it probably will be a positive that you'll be more productive, accessible, and gracious, and less interfered with. Question from the chat. What happened when you are kind and you have bad returns? Why do you consider them bad? I can look back, you know, I'm older than most people, I'm sure, on here, but I remember thinking, oh, that's terrible. I got rejected by this company. Oh, I didn't get into this law school. Oh, I'm so kind. Why did I get bad returns? No. That pain, that perception is a turn signal, not a stop sign. I just had to shift my paradigm that I love where I'm at and I'm angling towards something better, but I got faith that I'm going to end up somewhere better than that, because I know when things don't turn out the way that I want them, that is not what surrounds me. It surrounds what surrounds me. And what surrounds me is something greater than I can ever imagine, in infinity and limitlessness, something that's looking out for my best favor at all times. So there are no bad returns when you're kind. Kindness is a truth. It is your potential. And when you are living in kindness, you are kind to your future self. Trust me, do good deeds. You may not see or know or why or hear or how, but you are there. All right, everyone, that's it. Thank you for BYOQ. If you want the guide to this, how to ask good questions, please email me, david@dmeltzer.com. If you want any other guides, the pitch guide, the ultimate ego guide, the five to thrive selling guide, if you want my free book, email me, david@dmeltzer.com. Any other questions I didn't answer, go ahead, reach out to me. I'm always here for you. We do this every Friday. If you have missed this or you know someone that has missed this, go ahead and share it. They can join at david@dmeltzer.com or just watch it on YouTube, or it's featured on Spotify, featured on Entrepreneur. Please watch at any time, listen at any time. But most importantly, everyone, remember, next week's training is finding, keeping, transitioning a job and an opportunity, activity you get paid for. We're going to get right at it and help people align their capabilities with what they want to do, passion, purpose, and profitability. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Join me every Friday. Join me on the replays. Just join me. But most importantly, you got it. Be kind to your future self and do good deeds.
Hey, podcast listeners, thank you for listening as always to today's episode. I know you've been enjoying the Road to Revenue episodes. They are downloading at record paces, and I am so grateful for you joining me, not only on the podcast, but live every Friday at 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern. Make sure you email me at david@dmeltzer.com or text me at 949-298-2905. Thank you so much.